Biden administration goes objectively pro-Hamas. Commentary. Many years ago, George Orwell coined the oft-quoted phrase objectively pro-fascist in this paragraph. Pacifism is objectively pro-fascist. This is elementary common sense. If you hamper the war effort of one side, you automatically help out that of the other. Nor is there any real way of remaining outside such a war as the present one. In practice, he that is not with me is against me. As per Orwell, on March 25, the Biden administration betrayed America's longtime ally Israel and effectively went objectively pro-terrorist in favor of Hamas's survival by abstaining from the latest UN Security Council vote on a Gaza ceasefire. It had immediate ramifications. From the New York Post, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu canceled plans to send a delegation to Washington on Monday after the United Nations Security Council approved a resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire in the Jewish state's war against Hamas in the Gaza Strip. The resolution passed the Security Council 14-0, with the U.S. abstaining, declining to exercise its veto power in the latest rebuke of Israel by the Biden administration. In a statement, the Israeli PM's office called the U.S. abstention a clear retreat from the consistent position of the U.S. in the Security Council since the beginning of the war. This withdrawal hurts both the war effort and the effort to release the hostages, because it gives Hamas hope that international pressure will allow them to accept a ceasefire without the release of our hostages, Netanyahu's office added. Indeed. But we should not be surprised here. The Biden administration seems to have at best minimal interest in terrorism or terrorists, whether in Moscow, Israel, or our own country, having left our border open to anyone for President Biden's entire term with millions of illegal immigrants from multiple countries having arrived unvetted on our soil. President Biden and his administration seem to have one overweening concern: votes. Or, as Senator Marco Rubio succinctly put it after the president's 2024 State of the Union address advocating a two-state solution to the Palestinian-Israeli crisis, the two-state solution President Biden really sought was Michigan and Minnesota. So the president sends Secretary of State Antony Blinken on commutes to Israel lobbying Mr. Netanyahu on behalf of the safety of Gazan civilians, the vast majority of whom, in recent polls, support Hamas. To call Mr. Blinken hypocritical is an understatement. He knows full well that the Israel Defense Forces has done pioneering work in the history of armed conflicts in protecting civilians and that U.S. forces have imitated them. He also knows, as almost everybody does, that in order to defeat the Germans and the Japanese in World War II, the United States and its allies had to go so much further than Israel ever has in attacking civilians. In the case of Japan, as we all know, the United States dropped two nuclear weapons on their cities. In the case of the Germans, no quarter was given to the evil Nazi regime that had to be totally destroyed, which was used to justify such actions as the firebombing of Dresden. What then are the Israelis supposed to do about the equally evil Hamas, whose followers chant the genocidal plea for a Jordan-reigned Middle East from the river to the sea? We hear nothing from the Biden administration of how it would propose for Israel to rid itself of Hamas, whose leaders have dedicated themselves to ridding the world of Jews, much as did the Nazis at the Wannsee Conference. Should the United States have made an accommodation with the Nazis, allowing their regime to continue at the end of World War II? That is in essence what the administration is recommending the Israelis do: allow a terror organization whose ideology has included death to all Jews, even so far as to add at one point something called Jewish trees, to exist alongside them. These are the same people who parade near-naked Israeli women hostages in their town squares for all to gawk at and revile. And yet the Biden administration is now objectively pro-Hamas, giving the terrorists a pathway to survival. The Biden administration is also holding rearmament over the Israelis' heads, particularly in the area of ammunition. From here on in, it will most likely be Israel alone. Forget that Israel and the Jews are the proverbial canaries in the coal mine and that it is Western civilization that ultimately is under attack by the Islamist Hamas and its allies. There is an election to be won. Of course, if you win somebody's votes, you may also lose others. The Jewish vote has historically split roughly two-thirds to one-third in favor of the Democrats, with only the minority of more Orthodox Jews voting reliably Republican. Change is evidently in the air. Near the end of February, the Jewish Chronicle had the headline "Majority of New York Jewish Voters Intend to Vote for Trump," says new poll. That poll, from Siena College, had President Trump at 53% and President Biden at 44%. Yes, it's only one poll, but as news of this latest betrayal gets promulgated, the trend toward President Trump will grow, possibly substantially. Recently, President Trump opined, "Any Jewish person that votes for Democrats hates their religion. They hate everything about Israel and they should be ashamed of themselves because Israel will be destroyed." He got the usual pushback. But compared to President Biden famously stating, "If you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black," President Trump actually has done a great deal for Israel, including mediating the Abraham Accords, moving the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem, and recognizing Israeli control over the Golan Heights. What exactly has President Biden done for black people?